We're doing in Yaakov, we're in Tractate Shabbos, page Nun Hey, 55, Chaftalad in the standard editions. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Yonatan. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, Kol haomer Reuven chata eino ela toe. Anyone who says that Reuven transgressed is none other than an error. He should know he's making a mistake. So the verse says that after Rachel passed away, Reuven went and slept with Bilhah, one of Yaakov's wives. And right after it says that, it says Yaakov heard about it, and Yaakov's children were 12. And it lists Reuven as the first. Shneimal, the verse says, Vayuvne Yaakov Shneimasah. The verse says Jacob had 12 children, and it lists them. Reuven is the firstborn, and then Shimon, etc. Melamed Sheshkulin Keechad. So the pasuk was coming to indicate that they're all equal. So then, wait a second, says the Gemara. So how am I to understand? The verse says he slept with Bilhah, his father's concubine. So that teaches us that he interfered. He scrambled, so to speak, his father's bed. And so the verse considers it as though he slept with her, but he didn't really sleep with her. So what's going on here? Our sages say that Yaakov had a moving bed, so to speak, and he had a permanent bed. And his permanent bed was with Rachel, with Rachel. And other than that, he would spend a night with this wife and a night with that wife. But everyone knew his main place of rest was by Rachel. The Midrash says that Rachel's tent was the central one. The tents were set up in a shape like, let's say, a U shape. And in the middle was Rachel's tent. And anyone who wanted to enter the camp had to go through Rachel. And then they could come into the camp and see anyone who they wanted to see. But the tents were all facing inward. The entrance to the tents were the inside of the U. And in the middle of the U was Rachel's tent, and you could only get in if you walked through Rachel. It was very clear she was the head of the clan. She was the main wife of Yaakov. So even though Leah had 6 sons, she had the majority of the children, everyone knew that Rachel was the main part of the house, Ikar HaBayit. And when Rachel passed away and giving birth to Binyamin, so then Yaakov put her maid, so to speak, that other wife which Rachel gave him, Bilhah, who Rachel had asked him to marry her so that she would have more children to raise, so Yaakov put her in Rachel's stead. And Reuven, who was the son of Leah, got very upset. He said, wait a second. So long as Rachel was alive, I kept quiet that my mother was sidelined, even though she was the first wife and she had the most children, I kept quiet. But now my father's putting his bed with Bilhah, my mother has to put up with that. And so when his father wasn't there, he went and took his father's bed and shifted it to his mother's tent. And Yaakov comes in at night, and he sees that his bed is not where he left it. And so this is a double issue. Number one, Reuven is interfering in issues of intimacy. He doesn't belong there, even though he had the best intentions. You know, he meant to protect his mother's honor. Number two, we have to think about it as sometimes when something happens, so if you don't make an issue of it, so it's one level of a problem. But when you start talking about it and you bring it up to the surface, it's another level of a problem. Meaning, it's one thing if, let's say Rav Bigun would come in here and single Mr. Mandel out and say, you're an amazing student. So everyone would applaud and he'd walk out and that would be the end of it. But what would happen if someone would say, this guy, Francis, isn't a great student? And then Rav Bigun would have to say, but Mr. Mandela is a great student. So now this Francis has just been sidelined, right? By bringing it up to the surface, so long as no one spoke about it, so fine. A positive thing has been said. The second you force a person, you corner a person, so by Reuven bringing it up to the surface, Reuven is making an issue out of it. Until now, on some level, Leah knew what happened. And Leah was well aware. Everyone knew what happened. But Reuven brought it to the surface. So we know that Reuven transgressed. when we say Reuven didn't transgress, it means don't take the story literally. It says he slept with her. That should not be taken literally. And this is a rule in Tanakh. We have a tradition that many times the Tanakh will speak in terminology that's very severe, when in fact things were not as severe as the literal verse says. We'll see more examples later on in the Gemara. And if you're not accustomed to this, if you haven't grown up with this, so then it's a little bit troubling. But it says he slept with her. So let's see an example of this. And then we'll start seeing how the Tanakh really works this way. So we just learned in our class on Jewish history the story of the city of Jericho and then the city of Ai and the story of Achan. So let's look at the verses around the story of Achan. The Jews had went to war and conquered Jericho. They had made a pact that no one would take from the loot. And then they went to an easy war against the city of Ai and they lost 36 men. Now that shouldn't have happened. So the spies, the people come back to Yoshua and they report, we lost the war. And Yoshua tears his clothing and he fasts and he weeps before Hashem and he says, how could we ever go to war? You're on our side. How could it be that we lost? What's going on? And what does Hashem tell Yoshua? So he says like this. Hashem tells Yoshua, "Kum lach, get up. Lama zeta nofel al panecha? Why are you falling on your face? Chata Yisrael, the people of Israel have sinned. Vegam avrut briti, they've transgressed my covenant. Asher tziviti otam, that I've commanded them. Vegam, and also lakhu min acherem, they've also taken from the loot which they designated as holy. Vegam ganvu, and also they stole. Vegam kichashu, and also they've lied. Vegam samu bichleyem, and also they've put forbidden stuff in their vessels. And the Jewish people will not be able to stand up against their enemies. They will flee, they will turn their backs on their enemies. Because they've destroyed themselves. I will no longer be with you. If you don't get rid of the forbidden stuff from your midst. Wait a second, who sinned? What did the verse say? Israel sinned. They transgressed the covenant. They took from the forbidden loot. They stole. They lied. They put in their vessels 6 claims against all of Israel. All of Israel? Yeshua didn't know about it. The leaders didn't. What does that mean? So there's terminology that's used in Tanakh. We read the next few verses and suddenly we discover it was one man. It was his family. It was a very secluded group. But we're all held accountable. And the Navi uses very harsh terminology. So our tradition is that sometimes the harsh terminology that's used is not so harsh. It's expressing how upset Hashem is at what was done. It's expressing the gravity of what was done, and we'll see more examples of that. We have a concept that's the exact opposite as well, which we'll visit in a second. Yes?
The two examples seem a little different, because I wasn't sure. You say with Reuben, it says that he slept with her, but it means he moved his bed. That's how it's written.
Our sages say, don't take it literally.
But
the words say he slept with Bilhah. That's what the words in the verse say.
Boy, because that's a very different than, you know, the community is responsible if someone sins in Israel. You should have done something about this family. But this is really hard to... You know, you have to have the Rav who teaches you this, because it just says something, it's very different, like you say. It's not right. You read the theory of the intimacy, and it's but to say something so clearly that means something, you know, but I know how it is. I mean, in modern Hebrew, people will say, I hate you, when it means I mildly dislike you, you know, sometimes, like in English. So things are different. But it seems troubling, because the whole world sees this, right? I mean, this quote is taken from...
The Pasuk and Brachos.
Right. So it seems like it's a slander on Reuben that is unfair. You know, even though what he did wasn't right, it's a huge thing. Yeah, enough trouble.
Okay. Top, there's a broad discussion, but I think we should see. The problem is we're taking a break now. Next time we'll meet is next semester. Okay, so let's advance a drop in the story, and next class we'll take 5 or 10 minutes to discuss this concept. The pasuk purposely words it that way because the pasuk considers it as though he did it. And so the pasuk wanted you to walk away with that misconception. So to speak, the pasuk was punishing Reuven. For Reuven to do what he did, the Torah considers it as though he slept with her. We'll get back to this concept. Let's move forward a drop. But I just want to point out that it goes both ways. Meaning, you have psukim that speak very harshly, and our sages say our tradition is that should not be taken literally. And here our sages point out to us where you can see it indicated in the verse, because the verse right away says Yaakov had 12 sons. Why is that there? So our tradition is that's there to tell you they're all equal. But again, we'll come back to that. We have also an inverse concept where the pasuk says, he walked in from the field and he was tired. Our sages say Esav walked in from the field. He found a girl that was engaged, about to be married in the field, and raped her. He was tired because he murdered on that day. Step after step, every step of the way, every step Esav takes when he walks in and meets his brother Jacob, our sages say another hefty transgression he did that day. Big time, not little. All the pasuk said was he walked in from the field, he was tired, and said, could you give me some of that red stuff? Our sages say that's not what happened. Every word in that verse, our sages say there was more to that word. And the word tired, well, in Tanakh, the word tired says, I'm tired of killing. The field, in Tanakh, the word field indicates he found the girl in the field. And step after step, okay, the word field shows up in many contexts. Yeah, they had a tradition. Without the tradition, we wouldn't know it. Tani Rav Shimon ben Elazar omer, mutzal oto tzadik moto avon, velo ba ma'ase ze liyado. That tzaddik is obviously not incriminated with that sin, even though the verse seems to be that way, but no, it never happened. Efshar atid zaro la'amod al ha'revan velomar, arur shochev im eshet aviv. Reuven's own children were the ones who were responsible to say on Mount Ebal, you know, the Jews divided 6 tribes on the right, 6 tribes on the left, and they said, cursed is he who does. So Reuven's children were those who said, cursed is he who sleeps with his father's wife. Reuven's children were the ones who were supposed to say that on Mount Ebal. And then Reuven himself was the one who did that. Elamanim came ishkav pila pileg shaviv. How do I understand the verse that says he slept with Bila, his father's concubine? El boni motava. He was demanding his mother's honor. Amar, he said, im achot imi aita tzara liimi, if my mother had to contend with her sister who was always encroaching her space, shifchat achot imi tzara liimi, my mother's sister's maid is also going to encroach my mother's space. Amadu bilbelet matzah. So Reuven got up and he messed up her bed. And he went into the room and he ensured the bed wasn't to be used. Others say that when he interfered in the bed, so wherever Yaakov was, the Shekhinah would be there with him. And when Reuven interfered with the beds, so the Shekhinah wasn't there anymore. Our sages say that when a couple is intimate, so Hashem is present there. That's why Chazal say when a man is with his wife, the head of the bed should be to the north, the tail of the bed should be to the south, and our sages said we view it as Chadar HaMitot, the Holy of Holies is called the room of the bed. When a couple is intimate, we say that's when Shekhinah Benehim, Hashem's presence is between them. Remember when a child is born, we say there are 3 partners to a child, father, mother, but there's a main partner, the Ribono Shel Olam. So whenever a couple is intimate, we view that as a time not only of union, but the Ribono Shel Olam is there. So by Yaakov Avinu, Hashem was, so to speak, there by the bed always. Until the Jews sinned in last week's parsha, 2 weeks ago's parsha, until they sinned with the women of Peor, or until they sinned with the golden calf, it says you could see the Shekhinah in everyone's tent when they misbehaved. So then it didn't happen anymore. V'haynu dichtiv, az chilalta yitzui ala. Okay, so that's why Yaakov tells him at the end of his life, you desecrated my bed when you interfered. That's a gentle way of saying it. No, he was saying you interfered. It's not as harsh as what we read in the verse, yet it was considered very harsh, and that's why the verse words it that way. Okay, so that's step one, and we will revisit this Gemara Be'ezrat Hashem, the beginning of next class. We'll take 5-10 minutes to discuss this concept. It's time for dinner.